Good morning, friends and family. Again, as we come to you from our Facebook at Hilburn Drive Great Baptist Church, I want to greet all the mothers and wish you a happy Mother's Day today. I'll be speaking from Ephesians 6 in verses 1 to 3 on the importance of honoring our mothers. In Ephesians 6, and in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." Let us pray. Glorious God and Heavenly Father, again we thank you this day for your blessings and your mercies upon us, Lord. And we ask again that you would bless your word as it goes forth. And even we consider this morning the important aspect of honoring mothers. May your spirit accompany your word. And give grace to this poor servant to proclaim your word this morning again. We thank you for the clarity of your word that teaches us the place of mothers in your kingdom. And so speak to the mothers this morning, Lord, and cause them to see that they have one of the most important callings regarding in this world, and that is motherhood. And I pray that you bless. Feed us, as it were, from the finest of the wheat this morning. Give us something, Lord, this morning. And thus, we ask that you would give grace to proclaim thy word in power and in truth. And so we ask all this in your blessed and holy name, in your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again this morning, I would like to speak on honoring your mothers. And today we celebrate the tradition of Mother's Day as we again speak to honor mothers. But please let us not lose sight that first and foremost, we come to church, or we are at church, for the Lord's Day. And I always seek to preach and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the celebration and tradition of Mother's Day is no doubt of human origin. It is not prescribed or taught in the Word of God, and is not morally binding on anyone. And I would rather, my own personal view, not celebrate it on the Lord's Day, because this day, Sunday, is set apart to the honor of Christ alone, and nothing should detract us from that. But the only reason I will speak on this subject is because in the Decalogue, or if you wish, the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Again, in Exodus 20 and verse 12, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And thus, there is a need and a place to honor and recognize mothers. Again, in Ephesians 6, 1-3, we have that blessed phrase that speaks about honoring both fathers and mothers. But again, this morning, we're considering the aspect of mothers. It says again, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." And without question, this our chief text reminds us and teaches us that God commands us that we are to be honoring our mothers. And we see in this text the teaching and importance of honoring our mothers. This morning, I would like to, again, speak to those who are mothers, and perhaps even to those who one day will be mothers. And as we look at that, as we look at the Ten Commandments, I remind you also that in the second commandment of the Decalogue, it said something very interesting, but I think it's pertinent to the study this morning. In Exodus 20, I'll read it to you. In verses 4 to 6, it says, "Thou shalt not make of thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in heaven beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment." My point is that if the sinful action of a father affects the second and third and fourth generation, I also believe that we can deduce from this that the spiritual action of a father and mother will also affect for the good the second, third, and fourth generation. And to those that named the name of Christ this morning, I believe that we would want the blessings of God upon our house and upon our descendants. As Proverbs 3:33 says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Now, there's a lot here in our text in Ephesians 6:1-3. And especially in verses 1 and 3, which speaks about the importance of children obeying their parents. And of course, it follows with that. It would do the first commandment with promise of long life when this is practiced biblically. But again, I want to concentrate on verse 2, where again we're told, honor thy father and mother. And that's an importance of honoring your mother. I would also say that the mentioning the mothers and fathers here is to remind us that parents are the first earthly image of God in the aspect of submitting to authority. Interesting that in the Ten Commandments, honoring your parents is listed fifth. It is the fifth commandment in that order. But notice that it follows immediately after our relationship with God. In other words, the first four commandments speak of our relationship to God. And then from 5 to 10 speak of our relationship to man. But notice that the first one that speaks of our relationship with man has to do with what? Honoring our father and our mother. It tells us to honor our parents, which I believe is a very important application that we have to honor who? Our first earthly authority, which is our parents. And I believe that this is the order that God meant to set forth in the whole structure of society in the aspect of honoring parents. God takes honoring mothers and fathers very seriously. And since today is Mother's Day, again, we're going to focus on mothers. Now, interesting that the Greek word for honor in verse 2 of Ephesians 6 basically means to show respect, to give recognition. It is the Greek word timaio, which again means to show high regard and respect, so as to count someone special by esteeming them, to value them. The application is to honor someone in order to show respect to that person by recognizing their worth, and in this case, motherhood. When applied to parents, as here in Ephesians 2 and in the Ten Commandments, which, interesting, by the way, is the same Greek word in the Septuagint. Anyway, we are to recognize what? The validity of the parents' role of their authority over us by God. Thus, this word honor means to ascribe honor or worth to someone, to hold them in awe with the idea of treating them as very special and precious. As one writer has said, quote, honoring involves a proper attitude as well as appropriate behavior, unquote. How do we honor mothers? Do we honor mothers? Is this something we do every day or just on a particular day known as Mother's Day? You know, when we buy her gifts and flowers and a card and all those things. Well, no. We are to honor mothers every single day. Every day. Not just on some particular day known as Mother's Day. Oh, no, no, no. And again, we are to honor mothers by placing upon them a high value, by loving and reverencing them. Again, here in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul addresses the need on honoring parents and reminding their children that this particular commandment of the Ten Commandments is the one that did carry a promise. Another writer makes this point. He says, quote, we honor them by how we treat them, as well as how we live our lives. Remember when this was written, it was during a time when parents exercised authority throughout the lives of their children, even when they became adults. Honor is higher than obedience. Honor is the regard due to those who by divine appointment are above us and to whom our most respectful consideration is due, unquote. And thus, to honor someone is to acknowledge and to give respect for the authority and worthiness of that particular person. It also includes the aspect of affection by showing reverence in the application of obedience from the heart. One writer puts it like this. He says, quote, honor describes the disposition out of which obedience is born. In other words, obedience is the duty. Honor is the disposition. To honor one's parent means to show them respect and love, to care for them as long as they need, and to seek to bring honor to them by the way one lives, unquote. John MacArthur also makes this point. He says, quote, honor is the attitude behind the act. The act is obedience. The honor is attitude. Remember that an act without the proper attitude is hypocrisy. If you do what your parents tell you to do, but you hate it and you're unwilling and nasty about it, then you're a hypocrite. If you do that, what parents tell you to do, but you're bitter, fearful, reluctant, and selfish, then it is not the right spirit. God is after what? The attitude. He's after the attitude much more than the act. Because if the attitude is right, then the act will follow. But a right act with a wrong attitude is nothing but hypocrisy, unquote. And that's, again, the importance of honoring our mothers and to do it properly. Now, in sharing all this, I also did not want to lose for one moment or consider the aspect of Mother's Day as the mean of just some commercialism. Okay? Nor do we want to consider it from the perspective of the feminist movement, which is unbiblical and rejects God's true role for women. I am sorry to say this, but this is true, that the sacredness of motherhood has been lost in our society. I believe that Christianity has caved in to the assault on true Christian biblical values regarding motherhood, especially from the feminist movement. Just because a culture or society has its own agenda or definition concerning the duty of a wife and mother, it does not in any form, shape, or manner take away the biblical mandate, what it has to say regarding a wife and a mother. Now, I know that some of you have to work, and that's right and proper, and I understand that. But it doesn't take away in any form, manner, or shape again, it doesn't remove the truth about what the Bible teaches regarding the role of a wife or mother. God's unchanging standard is clearly spelled out for us in the Bible, not only for mothers, but also for fathers. But today we're speaking to the mothers and to all those that name the name of Christ. You know, Paul wrote to Titus and said this, I'll read it to you in Titus 2. It says, speaking of mothers, and wives, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's so important. It is the word of God that says that wives should be keepers at home. And just because we're in this 21st century and because it is a cultural world in this Western society, it does not take away from the teaching of God's holy word. Now again, I emphasize, some of you have to work, and I understand again that, and I'm not trying to impose any type of unwanted guilt upon you this morning. I'm just letting you know what the word of God says. Not only this, but we also remind you that motherhood is a vital part of God's design in creation. I take you all the way back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And I can assure you, on that particular day, there was no gender issues at all. There was no gender issues at creation, because there was only one male and one female. It wasn't a male and a male and a female. No, no, no. One male and one female. Clearly established in the Bible. A man and a woman. God created the first family as a man and a woman. That is the husband and the wife. A man and a woman. And we owe our existence to God. And also to the first couple, who no doubt is an example for us to follow as the only divine ordained institution and ordained pattern for the most blessed intimate of all human relationships. Adam also understood the calling of his wife's divine role. In Genesis 3, in verse 20, Adam called his wife named Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. I think that society in general needs to relearn the biblical virtues of motherhood if we are to find true respect for human life. Without true biblical motherhood, the heart is gone from the home and society suffers because of the void. And no, it does not take a village to raise children. No, no, no. It takes the heart of a godly woman, a heart of a God-fearing woman to raise children. You know, when you read the book of Judges, it's one of those books that ends in such a sad note. I mean, the very last word in the book of Judges, Judges 21:25, you should know what it says. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Sounds like America much today, where everyone wants to do that which is right in their own eyes. God help us, because that era needed godly mothers. But let me tell you this morning that this 21st century era also needs godly mothers. Mothers, when I say that, I'm not talking about perfection, but of having a willing heart to do the will of God, seeking to walk in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. It means that the whole structure in society is relevant, to the home in the honoring of our parents. I remind you again that the church is only as strong as the family. As goes the family, so goes society. What maintains society also is our walk before God, which includes the family and the church. Thus, the importance of honoring your mothers, as the Lord shows that mothers are very important in the role of society. Again, as goes the home, goes society. You destroy the family structure, you destroy society. And we see a lot of this in our day, where society is so unstable, and thus we see all the attacks upon authority. I saw a sermon entitled MADD, M-A-D-D. And I thought for a moment, that's just a strange title for a sermon. And both of you know what that basically means from years ago. MADD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. But this pastor put a new twist to it. MADD, Mothers Against Devil Devices. I love that. Which, of course, I can't help but think of the verse there in, by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But this is not the verse that the pastor used. He was preaching through Genesis, and in Genesis 3, in the aspect of the fall, and he came up with this, Mothers Against Devil Devices. I wish I would have thought of that. I mean, I really love that title, Mothers Against Devil Devices. One of his points is this, quote, he, that is the devil, would love us to disrespect the role of a wife and mother. He then asks, why? Because he, that is the devil, knows how godly motherhood as a whole, parenthood, is a part of God's perfect plan for the family, unquote. Which I would say also include the aspect of society that we just said. Then he goes to Genesis 1:28, where it says, "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, we all know that in the fall, Satan's first attack on the human race began with a future mom. Eve's name again means what? The mother of all living. And she was Satan's first target. The idea, I believe, of Satanists, destroy the parents, you destroy the home, you destroy society, and you destroy humanity. My. But thanks be to God to understand that a godly mother can destroy the enemy. Yes, a godly mother can destroy the devil's devices. I'm reminded of a famous evangelist in the 1800s. His name was Gypsy Smith. And I believe it was him who said this. He says, quote, "If we are ever to beat the devil, we must beat him with the cradle. How true. And since the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand of motherhood, therefore mothers hold in their hand the supreme opportunity of moving the world for God." Unquote. I love that. But again, we live in a twisted, upside down world. And the world tells women that, well, motherhood, it's a hindrance. I mean, children are a burden. I mean, they will hold you back. I mean, if you want to do something important in your life, especially if you want nicer things and of life, I mean, you need to have a successive career as a woman. So what do they offer women? Deliverance from the burden of children. And so sad that we're living in a time when even our school system talk about motherhood in the terms of a mere biological function, instead of the role of motherhood, and not in terms of development. But please understand, mothers, that God never looks for those who are the ones with most money, wisdom, and things like that. Oh, no, no. He looks to mothers who are willing to be used by Him. Moms, no doubt, are by nature giving nurturers. And thus, in our society, our children, and not so much that they need rich moms, career moms, no, they need mothers who demonstrate the quality of giving, care, love, compassion, which is the most important thing a child needs. And then, of course, above everything, the most important thing that any child needs, mothers, is your time. Don't ever forget that. Please remember that not only does God consider it a high honor for a woman to be a mother, but our children, whether they understand it or not, look to you, look to mothers for guidance. And therefore, motherhood is a blessed privilege, not a burden. Mothers, I encourage you this morning that the most important role or title and job in this world is motherhood. And never lose sight of that. I don't care what the world tells you. God says that that is the most important job. Don't be concerned with political correctness and things like that. Oh, no, no. And even though, whether it be the feminazis and political correctness that want to attack the position of staying at home, no, don't ever forget, you are fulfilling the role of God which He has called you to do. Again, there is no vocation in this world that is higher or more important than motherhood. Again, I know some of you have to work, and I understand that, but don't neglect your duty as a mother, which is very important. And again, we're living in a day where mothers are not honored as it once was. And sometimes the demand for motherhood can be over, overwhelming, especially in a time like ours, where it's almost nearly impossible to keep bad influences from our children today. I mean, when you all the computer technology and now with the iPads and smartphones, I mean, mothers, you got to be on the ball watching over your children. Mothers, you cannot be oblivious as to what is going on in the hearts of your children. What mothers need to understand is that when God gives them children, He also makes their home, what? A missionary field. This is first and foremost. And please, do not misconstrue my next point. Your home as a missionary field is more important than writing, reading, and arithmetic. This is your God-given duty as a mother to instruct and raise your children in the ways of the Lord. Again, the influence of the feminine movement has caused the status of motherhood to decline because women are encouraged to follow a career, not in the raising of children. But mothers, you have a mission at home. You have a ministry at home. And this is the most important mandate that you have. Therefore, sir, sorry to inform you, it's not your career, but it is in the raising of your children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that is the most important thing. I know, again, some of you mothers have to work. You have to work. I understand that. But it does not remove in any way the most important job in the world, and that is raising your children in the Word of God. And I know this is also the duty of the father, which is really first and foremost. But mothers spend more time with their children than fathers. And mothers, if you have a weak husband that does not take up his role, when the mother must, you must take up the slack. And you, as a mother, must teach your children the Word of God. Western culture ideology regarding women and professional careers does not remove the role of motherhood, which is given to mothers by God Himself. So please remember, mothers, that there is not a more influential or powerful role upon the earth than that of a mother. Never undervalue the calling to motherhood, because without you as a mother and also supporting partner to your husband, the family could not survive. Mothers, you need to be aware that you are an important key to society. A healthy home, a healthy church, and above all, especially to your children. I love the way this writer puts it. He says, quote, "The society that unravels the marriage union will unravel its children. The best plan by God for motherhood is a committed permanent bond called marriage. Motherhood would revive another generation if it was based on God's foundation," unquote. I like that. And I know that sometimes too many mothers are made to feel as they perhaps should apologize because they're mothers, because they're just housewives. When in such reality, such a role as motherhood is the highest calling, or in which the noblest calling by God. I love the way this writer made this very important point to help mothers who sometimes might feel inferior in the crowd of career women personnel. He says this, quote, "When I was in the faculty at the University of Pennsylvania, there were gatherings from time to time which faculty members brought their spouses. Inevitably, some woman lawyer and others would confront my stay-at-home wife with the question, 'And what is it that you do, my dear?' My wife, who is one of the most brilliant and articulate individuals I know, had a great response. She would answer and say, 'I am socializing too. Homo sapiens and the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition, in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into a teleologically prescribed utopia inherent in the Escalon.' When she followed with, 'And what is it that you do?' When the other person answered, 'A lawyer,' that just was not powerful enough," unquote. I love that. Mothers, you might need to memorize that brilliant answer. I love it. You know, mothers do teach us many things. And the following is copied, and I've shared this before, but I've added a whole bunch to this one again this morning. And there's the things, again, my mother taught me. Well, my mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to stay that way. My mother taught me humor. If the lawnmower cuts your toes, don't come running to me. My mother even taught me about logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother even taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me about becoming an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you're never going to grow up. My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. If you get to be my age, then you'll understand. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, go outside. I just finished cleaning the house. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that spot comes out of the carpet. My brother even taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten out, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother even taught me about obedience. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. I love that one. My mother even taught me about stamina. You're going to sit here until you finish all your spinach. My mother even taught me about weather. This room of yours looked like a tornado went right through it. My mother even taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world that don't have wonderful parents like you. My mother also taught me about expectation. Just wait till we get home. My mother taught me how to become an adult. Oh, I said that. You need your vegetables, you never grow up. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut the door behind you. You weren't born in a barn. My mother taught me about wisdom. When you get to my age, you'll understand. And then my mother taught me about justice. One day you're going to have kids. I hope they turn out just like you. Yes, our mothers taught us many, many wonderful things of life. And I've also quoted the following before, and I'd like to quote it again. And it's by a gentleman named Bobby Binagro, and he entitled it, "I have the meanest mother in the whole world." I had the meanest mother in the whole world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, I had to eat cereal, eggs, or toast. While other kids had Coke and candy for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich. As you can guess, my supper was no different than the other kids also. But at least I wasn't alone in my suffering. My sister and two brothers had the same mean mother as I did. I am nearly ashamed to admit it, but she actually struck us. Not once, but each time we had a mind of our own and did as we pleased. That poor belt was used more on our seat than it was used to hold Daddy's pants up. Can you imagine someone actually spanking a child just because he or she disobeyed? Now you can begin to see that I had the meanest mother in the world. We had to wear clean clothes. We had to take a bath. The other kids always wore the same clothes for days. We reached the height of insult because she made our clothes herself just to save money. Why? Oh, why? Do we have to have a mother who made us feel so different from our friends? The worst is yet to come. We have to be in bed early, between 8 and 9 each night, so we can get up early in the morning. We could not sleep till noon like our friends did. So while many slept in, my mother actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. She made me wash dishes, make beds, learn to cook, and all kinds of other sorts of cruel things. I believe she laid awake all night thinking, what mean things can I do to my children today? She always insisted on us telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even if it killed us, and sometimes it almost did. My mother was a complete failure as a mother. Out of the four children, a couple of us attained higher education. None of us has ever been arrested or divorced or beaten his mate. Each of my brothers served their time in the service, in the military. And whom do we have to blame for the terrible way which we turned out? You're right. Our mean mother. Look at the things we missed. We never got caught on a march in protest parade, nor take part in a riot. We never got a chance to burn a draft card. And a million of other things we did not do that our friends did. She forced us to grow up in a God-fearing, educated, honest adult. Well, I thank God that he gave me the meanest mother in the whole world. Unquote. Well, I had one of those mean mothers, and I'm so thankful I did. I'm reminded of a joke from a young pastor who said, quote, as I began to pastor our first church, my wife Lori and I found we were going to have a third child. Several weeks, Lori was going through her clothes, which no longer fit. Watching her, our five-year-old son asked, Mom, are you going to have a baby? Are you looking to wear those eternity clothes? Unquote. I love that. Another writer said, one of the mothers in a church put her son to bed on the eve of his fifth birthday. She was trying to communicate that birthday idea to him. Kevin, this is the last night of being four. Okay? Do you understand that? Because Kevin was ready to always communicate with his hand. Would ask how old you are. He would say two, three. He would say four, you know, all the way. He would raise up his four fingers. And now, he's going to be five. And now he's getting ready to add a thumb. Seeing his four fingers, his mother nodded and said, when you sleep tonight, you're still going to be four. But do you know how old you're going to be in the morning when you wake up? Kevin nodded enthusiastically, added his thumb to his four fingers and said, tomorrow, Mama, I'm going to be a handful. Unquote. I love that. Another one. A Sunday school teacher teaching in the Ten Commandments said, quote, a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with their 5 and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches how to treat our brothers and sisters without missing a beat? One young boy answered quickly, said, thou shalt not kill. Unquote. I love that. One more. Quote, in Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny seemed especially intent when they told him the story how Eve was created out of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he was ill, and he says, Johnny, are you okay? I don't know. My rib hurts. I have a pain in my rib. I think I'm going to have a wife. Unquote. That was good. But on a serious note, I love this story, and I know I shared it before. I'd like to share it again by R.A. Torrey, and I put quite a bit of his quotes on Facebook. But I shared this for those of you mothers who still have children that are lost. He wrote this, and it says, quote, when Dr. R.A. Torrey was a young man, he had no faith in God or the Bible. His mother, however, was a devout Christian who constantly prayed for his conversion and often witnessed to him. One day he said to her, I don't want to hear about my sins or your prayers. I'm going to leave and not bother with you anymore. With tear-filled eyes, the woman followed him to the gate and pleaded with him to change his mind. But he could not be detained. Frantically, she cried, son, you're going the wrong way. But when you come to the end of your rope and everything seems hopeless, call upon your mother's God with all your heart, and he will surely help you. Well, after R.A. Torrey left home, he went to the deeper ways of sin. And one night in the hotel room, he was unable to sleep. And he was so weary and depressed with the problems pressing him on every hand, he decided to take a gun that he kept in his dresser to end his life. And just as he reached for the weapon, he remembered his mother's last words. Convicted by the Holy Spirit, he fell on his knees and cried out, "O God of my mother, if there is such a being as God, I need your help. If you will give it to me, I'll follow you." In a moment, his darkened heart was illuminated, and peace filled his heart. Later, R.A. Torrey became an outstanding evangelist who led thousands to Christ. Are you discouraged because your children or teenagers aren't interested in the things of God? Keep praying for them. Keep loving them and keep living a consistent life before them. Never underestimate the power of parental witness. Unquote. And so, dear mothers, do not lose sight of your most important calling in this world, which is motherhood. Do not underestimate your godly role as a mother. Remember that in God's eye, motherhood is the most and highest calling in the world that any mother can walk in this life. I even remind you of the words of the faithful words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Why? Because of the faithfulness of his mother, Eunice. Remember what it says there, even with the molding of Grandma Lois, it says in 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast learned the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ." In other words, Timothy could not recall a time when he had not known the scriptures. I, as an individual, I cannot enter into that. I don't know anything about that. I was 25 years old before I even ever read a Bible. So don't take it for granted, children, that everyone is raised like you and in church. No, count it a privilege that if you as a baby, you've been raised in the scripture and in church, that it is something very blessed indeed. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, "Babes receive impressions long before we're aware of the fact. A special advantage ground is lost when even babyhood is left uncultured. The Holy Scripture may be learned by children as soon as they're able to understand anything. It is a remarkable fact, which I have heard assertedly by many teachers, that children will learn to read the Bible better than any other book. Give it the first 7 years of a child and God's grace, and we will defy the world, the flesh, and the devil to ruin your mortal soul," unquote. And I'm reminded when I used to sell encyclopedias, one of my best closest was that we used to sell another group of books that were called Childcraft. And I would tell the parent, this was my big sale, to inform them that children at age 3 and 4 have the highest retention level. And so it helped me a lot to sell encyclopedias, but it also made me realize that for our own children, that when they were 3 or 4, that we had to continually, over and over again, read them the scriptures. You see, at ages 3 and 4, it is easier. Well, their hearts are still soft and impressionable. If you don't mold their heart, someone else will. If you don't get their hearts when they're young, because their hearts are still pliable, someone else will. It's like planting a tree. I mean, it might look like a twig, and it begins to bend easily here and there. It might go in a direction you might not want. But before you know it, the tree grows, and now it's very hard to bend. Mold their hearts while they're still young, mothers. Don't ever lose sight of that. Okay? I want to end with this quote that is also shared before that really is very touching. And it's from Dennis DeHaan. And it's entitled, "For Future Generation." Quote, "When a team of Christians visited Stavropol, Russia in 1994 to hand out Bibles, a local citizen said he recalled seeing Bibles in an old warehouse. They'd been confiscated in 1930s when Stalin was sending believers to the gulags. Amazingly, the Bibles were still there. Among those who showed up to load into the truck was a young agnostic student just wanted to earn a day's wage. But soon he slipped away from the job to steal the Bible. A team member went looking for him and found him sitting in the corner weeping. Out of the hundreds of Bibles he had picked. He picked up one that bore the handwritten signature of his own grandmother. Persecuted for her faith, she had no doubt prayed often for her family in her city. God used that grandmother's Bible to convict that young man. God has no grandchildren. We must each become first-generation believers through personal faith in Jesus. But the devotion of God, of a grandparent or parent, is a powerful ally in the Spirit to bring our children to Christ. Paul encouraged Timothy by recalling the faith of his grandmother and mother. Although Timothy's faith was his own, it was deeply linked to theirs. What an admonition to us who are parents and grandparents to be faithful, unquote. And so, mothers, may God grace you to be faithful, to be a faithful mother. And it begins first and foremost to being in Christ first. If you're outside Christ this morning, come to Him. That the Lord will make you a new mother in Christ. And those of you who are mothers in Christ, again, I admonish to be faithful. Persevere. Don't give up. Because the hardest job in the world is not the president or not, you know, some CEO, a big corporation. No, the hardest job in the world is being a mother. Don't ever forget that. But it is also the best job, particularly being a faithful mother. Mothers, I know sometimes that you feel that you're not special or that you're not that important. And you might say, well, God's not going to use me as a preacher, as a missionary or this. But oh my, you do have the highest calling as a mother. So instruct your children in the ways of God. And more importantly, pray for your children every day. And I'm sure that God takes special interest in that. I remind you, your children are your mission field. And so what a high calling, what a privilege. And so mothers, I want you to hold your head up high this day, because you have the highest calling God could give any person. And may God help you to be what He wants you to be as a mother. And again, children, I remind you the importance of honoring your parent. Again, Ephesians 6:2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. As I conclude, I want to end with a poem. And I wrote this poem years ago, but I want to read it again as we conclude this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Children are a heritage of the Lord. We thank our God and look to His word. His wisdom and instruction is truly a must. We need guidance, and so in God we trust. Mothers bring children into the world. They are more precious than any pearl. Children are a gift from our great God. We confess what a miracle He has wrought. We take them home from the hospital. What a joy, knowing that God gave us a little girl or a boy. They keep us up at night, and we get very little sleep. But what a joy to know that they're ours to keep. What a bond is formed between mother and baby, hoping they'll grow up to be a fine young man or lovely lady. We're excited when we see them take their first step. We take pictures so these memories are kept. Mothers are wipers of noses and watchers of ears. Mothers pick them up when they fall and wipe their tears. Finders of shoes, toys, clothes, and hats. Mediators, peacemakers, referees of spats. We train their heart from the Bible, for that is our goal. We have the promise they will never depart when old. They finally graduate, and it seems so fast, for in their hearts we thought it would forever last. We have sought to raise them in His holy word. We pray that they will believe and follow the Lord, and that salvation will be wrought in their heart, that they would persevere to the end and never depart. God ordained from creation to birth children by mothers, and that men would be leaders and fathers. God's instruction to us is be fruitful and multiplied. As we see our children born, most of us do cry. No, it does not take a village for children to be raised. God ordained that mothers should bring up children under His grace. So for all that you have done, we wish you today that God will bless you with a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for godly mothers. You have given them the hardest job in the world, but You have also given them the most important job in the world. And we thank You for that. For mothers, again, I remind you, you have the highest calling. And may God grace you, give you wisdom to guide and to lead your children. Because again, as goes the home, goes society, and thus so goes the church. So, O Heavenly Father, give us godly, willing mothers who will undertake this very important role of raising and preparing their children for the kingdom of God. And again, Heavenly Father, we're not talking about perfect mothers and things like that, but mothers who are willing to be used by you. And so, God, bless and give mothers, even today, a wonderful day. For we ask all this in the blessed and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we thank you again this morning, meeting with us through the means of Facebook. May you have a great day, and again, Happy Mother's Day.